Recorder's on. We're good. All right. Thank you. One thing I've learned is it takes a family. And I'm glad that I have helped to be able to do things need to be done. I appreciate you all for all you do. We've got a lot of love here, and we've got a lot of good things that go on. And don't ever let that change. Okay? The lesson today is dealing with overcoming depression. 'Tis the season to be depressed for lots of people. I have learned over the years that just because somebody looks happy on the outside does not mean that they're happy on the inside. If you follow the comedians, like, was it John Belushi that was extremely depressed? A lot of the others that were very joking and seemed to be so happy on the outside, but actually were severely depressed on the inside. Depression is a reality. Now, I want to make some clarifiers as I begin this. There's a lot of reasons for depression. Sometimes it's from outside influences. Things happen that you can't control, and they affect your life. Sometimes you make stupid choices and it messes up your life. Okay? I've done that. Okay? And I think probably all of us have made stupid choices. And because of that, things went bad and we got down. All right? There's also the possibility of clinical depression or a chemical imbalance in one's mind. The brain is an organ of the body, guys. And science doesn't really know what comes first, the egg or the chicken, in relation to this. Is it learned behavior that causes our mind to be off balance? Is it problems in life that causes the chemical imbalance to get to a point? They don't really know. There's a lot of things they don't know. But I make these clarifiers to make some statements and make some clarification. Depression is a reality. If an individual, whether you or somebody else, is at a point where a doctor says you need to take some of this medication to help you to get through it, I would advise you to do it. The Bible says that we are to pray and anoint with oil, and that was their medicine. That was one of their main medicines in the first century, was oil. I believe that today it is good and proper to use the medications that we have available. I also believe that there are some definite things that we can do in our life to overcome depression. I know that I have dealt a lot with depression back in those years where my wife was very, very sick for an extended period of time. I got depressed so bad that I was scared to death. My mind was numb. I was 3 years in coming down to the bottom of the pit. And I woke up one day and realized that I was in serious trouble because I had 3 children to raise and a wife that needed my attention. I put the biblical principles into place, and I forced myself to think about those every single day of my life, probably 100 times a day. I tried medication at that time, and I think I took a total of 2 of those tablets that the doctor had given me, and I decided I couldn't function with that, that I was going to overcome it. Now, that doesn't mean if you have depression and need medicine that you can't overcome it without medication. So I want to make that clarification, and I want to say also that if you have to have medication for depression, it's not a shame. Does any of you take medicine for your blood pressure or cholesterol? So is that a shame? The brain is an organ of the body. okay? And I don't even care if you made stupid choices that brought on your depression and now your mind's mixed up. I'm saying that's worst case scenario. We don't know about the brain chemical balance, okay? And so I'm saying that. I got to clarify that. I don't care what the problem is. I want you to take the medication if you need it. And don't feel ashamed, okay? You take it for other things. And this is okay. And so I've been through these things with a lot of people, including myself. And I know that it's serious. And so I've known of suicides because of depression. And so that's very serious. And so this is a very serious subject, and it came on at this particular time of the year because we were talking about it in a Bible class several weeks ago. And so I promised that I would bring a lesson on it. And so I'm speaking this lesson from firsthand experience of being to the point of severely depressed and needing not able to, my mind was literally numb. I can't really describe that. And it took me 3 years before I actually had a mind that was not numb. And then it's taken me another 15 years to get to where I'm linking back. Now, when was the last time I was depressed? And so, let's work together. And let's go forward. Depression's serious. It's a reality. Godly people get depressed. Okay, we're going to look at one here in a little bit. He was clinically depressed, and he was in a bad way. He wanted to die. Okay, and so don't decide that since you're depressed that you're not a godly person. Does that make sense? Okay, so as we look at these things, I think it's very important to clarify those. So those all have to be at the beginning so that you don't misunderstand some of these things that I'm saying, where I'm going to give you what God tells us to do to head this off, okay? And I'm not saying that there's not a place for medication. But remember, prayer and anointing with oil. So you can't take God out of the mix, because God gives us the path and God gives us the help that we need. And that passage in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be worried about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace that passes understanding, okay, I'm missing that word somewhere, I don't know why. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. If you've ever dealt with depression, you want the peace of God. Because it's deep, and it's dark, it's lonely, and it's miserable. And so as we look at this, I want to look at a couple passages to begin with. And while we're in Philippians 4, let's look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In the depths of depression, it was hard to obey that. Very tough. I couldn't find anything to rejoice in. But I had a command of God. And I had a desire to obey God. And I knew that if I could learn to obey that command, that it would help to overcome the depression that I was feeling. And so I reminded myself of that verse quite often, and I said it over and over in my head, and I kept trying to rejoice, and I kept trying to think of the blessings, and we'll look at that aspect of it in a little bit later in this lesson. But I tried to focus on these things, and I tried to find rejoicing in my life. Because God is helping us, and He's given us these little clues in life, because He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, okay? And so, if you need to know how to deal with depression, you need to start with God. That's the where we've got to go. We've got to remember to, He's saying, look, rejoice. You got so much to be thankful for. Do you know how many times I reminded myself of all the blessings that I have? Dorothy and I, we talk about this often in the midst of all of the struggles and the problems, you know, even when the plane went bad just before my check ride for IFR, do you know how many times long I've struggled with that? Now, I was pretty disappointed, but I didn't go into depression. I just realized that this week.
Good.
I'm thankful. Because I just said, well, let's just rejoice in the Lord. Okay? That's not always easy to do. We've got to work at it. Okay? And this is what I'm thinking, as what I want you to see, that it took me years to put these things into practice. And something might happen this afternoon that really becomes a burden and makes it hard. Okay? But I've practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced doing these things and putting them in my life to get rid of depression. Because I can remember it hadn't been long ago that I prayed in the morning, God, I need your help. I can't function this way. And that was earlier this year. Okay? So it takes practice. Learn to rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24. This is another passage that is so very important. We've got to remember it. It says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And so, did something go bad that's going to bring depression? Are you tired of the depression that you've been dealing with for a long time? You need to remember that this is the day the Lord made. The Lord made it.
Amen.
And is the Lord perfect? Is the Lord good? God does right. God does the right things. You and I are the ones that mess things up. You know, we're the ones that out of a lack of faith. Let me tell you something. Faith, to me, is a big thing. Okay? And the more I learn to trust in God, the less I worry about the problems that come. I struggle with faith every day, guys. Okay? I know God can say no. All right? But I've got to trust His no's. Okay? And I've got to let it know, I've got to remember that the Lord made this day. I need to do two things. I need to rejoice. I've got a great God that's in charge of this day. He's in charge. Now that doesn't mean that bad things won't happen, because bad things come to all of us. But we need to rejoice, and the Lord has made this day, and we need to be glad in it. Sometimes that's tough. Is making ourselves glad, is that hard sometimes? Yeah. But God is saying, look, guys, I want you to have a full life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. We can't have an abundant life when we're depressed. God gives us the things that we need to have the rejoicing and have the gladness and have the full life. Life brings problems. You think Jesus wasn't struggling at times? You and I are going to struggle. But remember what got Jesus through? He trusted God. Okay? Guys, we're all at different stages of that trusting in God. I've been growing for a long time trying to. And I'm further today than I was yesterday and a year ago and 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 40 years ago. It's a growing process. Don't beat yourself up for where you're at. But follow the directions that God gives to go forward and learn that trust. This is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so now we're going to look at some of the issues and things that bring out the problem. And we talked about some of these things, but I want to look at a couple examples so that we can figure out. A lot of times, depression is one of those things that it might kind of creep up on us. But guys, we need to work at trying to pinpoint the problem. When did these feelings begin? What happened in my life that started me to go down this path of depression? Now, naturally, at the beginning, it wasn't that it was that big of a deal. I remember when my wife first got sick, it was, you know, I said, I'm going to be happy. And I went on and I rejoiced and I did. But over the years, that started creeping up on me. And I had to remember where it was that those problems actually came. When did they start? And so it might be something exterior. Okay, we're going to look at 1 Samuel, where the problem was is because It was something exterior, but it was his pride problem that actually brought it on. So let's go to the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And so 1 Samuel chapter 18 is talking about King Saul. Now, King Saul had went into a depression that he was so upset because of some things that were going on. And notice that his depression led him to lash out at others. Have you ever done that? I think I have, you know, and I'm not proud of it. But Saul did that, and he did it in a pretty violent way. In 1 Samuel 18, 10 and 11, it says, "It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of his presence twice." Saul was so depressed that he was trying to kill somebody. And that's pretty serious business, okay? And so now you and I, we have the scriptures and we can go back and pinpoint the problem. We can see kind of where it seems to have started within this particular situation. So if you drop back to verses 7 and 8, notice what happened. Now, David had gone out and he'd gone to battle. And David, he was soon to be King David, was a great, great man and did a super job in leading these battles. And so he comes in and into the city, and this is what's going on. "And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom?" And so Saul was very upset because somebody else got praise that he didn't get, and it put him into a fit of depression. Now, I use this one because sometimes, guys, you make and I make stupid choices. He decided to be prideful. And because of his pride, he went into a fit of depression. Now, I've done dumb things over the years that brought on some difficult times that got me discouraged. And so when we are in dealing with depression, we need to be asking ourselves the question, did I make a mistake? I'll tell you what, to confess your faults is a very healing thing. You know, you may have hurt somebody and feel bad about it. Somebody may have hurt you and you feel bad about it. You may have done something pretty stupid and you went to mourning over that whatever decision you made. Guys, pinpoint the problem. If that's the case, because we've got to be humble and we've got to look at ourselves, because it could be something like Saul that stood between him and God, okay? And so if you've got something in your life like that, you need to be depressed until you clear it out. Okay? Just keep that in mind. You don't want that standing between you and eternity. And you don't want depression. I hate depression. It's a terrible pit to be in. And so watch those things. And so now another thing is, sometimes things happen that you don't have anything to do with or you can't control. So let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, here again, unlike Saul, and of course, Saul started out as a great godly man, but his life changed. And he started making poor choices. Elijah is a great prophet of God. I mean, he was one that was doing great things for God. And we're at a point where he had prayed to God that it not rain, and God answered his prayers, and for 3.5 years it didn't rain. And at the culmination of this 3.5 years, Saul goes and he has this great showdown with the prophets of Baal. And he ends up being able to destroy all the prophets of Baal. He won after a 3.5 year battle, and you'd think this man would be on top of the world. Here he was, a great servant of God, doing super things for God, and had this super victory for a whole nation. Well, watch what happens. Verses 1 through 4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." Elijah was depressed. And you would think that at such a time as this, that he would be on top of the world. Psychologists look at this and they say, they term this as clinical depression, based on what he'd been through. And you know, sometimes, guys, and I think what can happen is we can work for a long, long time for something, and it becomes such a part of us that once we achieve it, it's a major letdown. And I'm not so sure if that's kind of what was going on with him. But he was a faithful man of God. Okay? And so you've got to understand that depression can happen to faithful men and women. And so he was so depressed, he wanted to die. I don't know if you have ever felt like you wanted to die. But he did. He was that low. Now keep in mind that this is not something that he brought on. This is circumstances in the world around him. It's not something that he caused. He may have prayed that it didn't rain, but he was following God's command. He was just doing what God wanted him to do. And he was a great servant. And so the point being is this. Now God spoke to him. And he gave him a job to do. Okay? He went in the wilderness for 40 days, so he had some peace where he got away from the problem. And then he sat and he listened to God for a while. And then God gave him work to do. Okay? So I want you to remember those things. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're overwhelmed, maybe that's kind of like burnout. You know, Dorothy and I, when we first started up here, it was 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for about 3 years. And we were done. We were finished. I don't know that we were depressed. I don't think we were. Dorothy never gets depressed. But I was tired. I was really tired. And so we learned to get away a little bit and take a break. Now, I'm saying this because I want you to think about your life. Guys, a lot of times you need a break. You can't go forever. You know, I remember telling my wife's brother one time, I said, "I can do it and I will do it." And I did it for a long time, but I paid the price. So keep that in mind. Now, the solution to him, and it may be to you and I also, if we find ourselves in the situation, is number one, we need a break. And then we need good work to do. God told Elijah, "Get up and go do these things." That was after he had a break, about 40 days or so. And so, guys, sometimes we just need to recognize that God is in control. I love that passage, and I've been telling everybody here lately, and I know I've read it 100 times over the years, but Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." Elijah found God in the still small voice in that cave. Guys, I think we've got to know that God is God. We've got to be still and recognize that. And when we are still and recognize there is that God is God and that He will be exalted, then we recognize that God is going to take care of these problems, and me being depressed isn't going to solve anything. In fact, what scares me, it takes away my influence. If I'm depressed, I can't help you. I got nothing to give. And if you're depressed, you can't help me. Now, when you're depressed, I hope I'm up and I can help you, right? When I'm depressed, I hope you're up and you can help me. Because that's one thing that we need to be doing. But we need to recognize that, guys, things happen. Okay? When things happen in your life and you become depressed, figure out why. Figure out what the problem is and find out what caused it. Once you figure out the problem, I want you to lay out the plan. The plan is a struggle. And so if it's a person that has brought on your problem, the biggest thing that I've ever found to solve the problem, it goes back to just what God says. So let's go to Matthew 18. We've caused ourselves so many problems over the years because we don't go to what God says to solve the problems that we have. In Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, we see, I believe, the greatest solution that if you've got a problem that you're depressed with somebody because you've had a struggle with them, this is what it says. More of thy brother shall trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. A lot of times it's easy to talk to somebody else about something we're upset about somebody with. All that's going to do is create your problem and make it worse. Okay? Number one, you sinned. You should have talked to them. And so guess what? Now you're guilty of sin. You got a good reason to be depressed. Okay? And so God is saying, look, if somebody's trespassed against you, you go and you talk to them about that problem. One of the things that I've found over the years is if I go to somebody and follow this, I end up, rare exception, do I not come away closer and in a better relationship with them than before. Because we've aired it out. We've figured it out. Okay? Is it hard? It's probably one of the toughest things there is to do. You know, we were talking about this in Bible class, about on Thursday night, about how hard it is to talk to some people about the gospel. It's hard to confront people and talk to them and help them to learn and understand, especially if we're upset with them because of something they've done against us. But guys, you don't want to be depressed. Okay? If it's a person, go talk to them. The second aspect of that is the other side in Matthew 5, 23 and 24. He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. A lot of times we've hurt others. And we find that it's hard to face that in our own world. Rightly so. If I know that I've wronged somebody, that's going to haunt me. And that's going to cause a lot of pain in my life. And extended pain is going to bring on depression. All right? That's just the way it works. And so we've got to find a way to end that pain. And so in other words, if I've hurt you, God says, it's not time to worship. It's time to go right that relationship. Now, it's hard to admit you're wrong. And I tell you what, I think that pride is going to keep a lot of people out of heaven on Day of Judgment. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Hey, look, it's a big deal. Okay? So watch that pride. But keep in mind that if you've wronged somebody, it's going to be a problem. It is really, 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 really tough to go to them and say you're sorry. But man, it's terrible being depressed. It's terrible. And so either way, you need to go and you need to talk to them. And now, I want to look at the guidelines that we use as we do that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 25. In Ephesians 4, 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in them in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, this is talking about the truth of the gospel, but guys, it's applicable to talking to one another about problems. Tell them the truth. Come clean. If you don't come clean, you're not going to find any healing. because the evil feelings are still there. You know, I think a lot of times I've brought on my own depression, okay? And it's easy to do. And you know, either harboring feelings from somebody else or being upset because of something I did that I shouldn't have done. And so we need to get rid of those things. And when we do, we need to speak the truth. We just need to very kindly, very properly. There's other passages that come into this. But we need to say what we're hurt over. If I lied to you, I just need to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I told you a lie. I shouldn't have done it. Okay? Because if I lied to you, that's going to bother me until I right or wrong. If you've hurt me, if you've done something, say, look, you said thus and such. And it really hurt my feelings. And how many times has that happened, guys? And then we harbor it and we go on and on and on. Something we don't like, it just doesn't. And so we just keep on. And so then we get depressed. Guys, speak the truth to the one that you're struggling with. Person. And then in verse 25, it says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. A lot of times people bring on depression. Okay? It's a progression. Something we don't deal with, we don't take care of, that in time overwhelms us and the depression starts to sink in. I've seen depression go pretty severe. And unchecked, I believe that it creates imbalances in our brain that makes it very difficult to ever overcome. Now, don't forget faith in God. I don't care if you've been depressed for 50 years. I think you need to come to God on faith and put things into practice that are a problem in your life, and you can find help and healing. Okay? Don't ever doubt God. The problem is we want God on our terms. We like to punch our God card when we want something and throw the card away and forget it when we get feeling good. Okay? You're going to have God all the time. Okay? And you need to put Him on your plate and keep Him there. And you need to keep Him as a priority in your life. Now, God will help, and He will give you guidance and direction, and He'll give you healing from depression as with any other thing. But we have to come to Him on His terms. And so we're going to look at this much this morning, but we're going to add some more this afternoon. I can see I didn't make it very far. So we got a lot of ground to cover this afternoon. But we're going to bring it to a close here. Part of the things that we've been talking about is mistakes that we make. I think a lot of times it's from exterior influences in our life. But mistakes that we make, if we've sinned, we've got a problem. I'm so glad that Jesus came and died on the cross. Now, I'm sorry He had to do it, and I grieve that He had to do it, but I know that that's the only way you and I could go to heaven. We can find forgiveness. Sometimes I think that depression can come on because we really don't accept the forgiveness that God can offer. God gives us the conditions for forgiveness. He says that we must have a faith in Him. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6. You got to believe Him. Okay? You got to believe Him. You've got to get that belief from a study of the Bible in Romans 10:17. If you don't know God, you don't know His mind, and you don't know that He can help, you don't know that He's there, you just think so. You read and study the Bible and you realize some of your mistakes. And that's where Jesus says you've got to repent. You've got to change your life. Hey, look. If it was my behavior that brought on depression, I would really like to change it. I don't like it. I really don't. But repentance is changing things that are wrong in our life to be acceptable with God. And if you don't repent, you're going to perish. That's part of receiving that forgiveness that Jesus offers. There is a confession with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. He's in charge. When I acknowledge that, I'm saying, God, Christ, you've got the right to rule my life. That way I read the Bible and I work to change. And then there is the baptism, the immersion in water for the remission of sins. Baptism for any other reason is not baptism for the remission of sins, guys. The religious world does it for a lot of reasons, but they do not do it for remission of sins. It's different. Baptism saves you. 1 Peter 3:21, that's the Bible. Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. That's where our sins are washed away. These are the things that we do to find the forgiveness of sins. And then we get up and we walk and act like a Christian. And when we do that, it'll give us the direction to get over the depression. I'll guarantee you. It may take time, but it helps us to keep it away. It helps us to ward it off when it comes. Because we've got a home in heaven with God for eternity. Are you a child of His? Have you done what He said? If you haven't, don't have forgiveness of sins. You're lost. If you've done that, but you're not living the way that He says, you're in trouble too. You're bringing on great troubles in your life. And you're spitting in the Lord's face. If you're not living for Him, guys, you need to do it. And you need to change if you're not. And you need to do it now while we stand and while we sing.